Very welcome again to the program Viewpoints on the speeches and the important points addressed by the leader of Iran and the leader Muslim of the Muslim Ummah, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei. Today we want to talk about an important topic. Here and there on different speeches, the leader of Iran addressed about the comprehensiveness of the religion of Islam, that Islam is a religion which can be useful for both the other world and this world. So it covers most of the dimensions and the aspects of the practical life of all the people around the world. So when this statement is posed by some of the defenders of the religion of Islam, that Islam is the most comprehensive religion, it has planned for all the aspects of the lives, it could be discussed from two aspects. Number one is from the side of the intellectuals, I mean, the so-called broad-minded people who are looking for the rational answers to everything. And from the other side, these people who belongs to the Naqli group, or the people who, according to the narrative account, whether it is based on the Holy Quran or Ahadith, can answer this question. First of all, let's get to the rational aspect and how the religion of Islam has answered in order to defend itself. Yeah. That I am the comprehensive format and the plan for the life of the people.
So basically the problem is when we try to understand anything through our own intellect, we make mistakes. And that's for sure. It's not just about the God, it's about the other things, it's about the situations. You know, if people are stuck in a specific situation, everyone, according to their own intellect or level of intellectuality, they bring the solutions for it.
That's right.
You know, but the point is when you join all the ideas and you take it to the level of the pure intellect, that's the way you find the best way out of that situation.
Right.
So it's totally depends on our own thinking and our own, you know, the way we brought up the society where we have. All these things have effects on our own intellect, not the pure ones.
That's right. Nowadays, the neurosciences, I mean the brain ones, are working very much. What are the centers of the feelings, sadness, happiness, pleasure, even religion in your brain and mind, okay? Yeah. They are still searching a lot based on their, we can say, talents. I mean the scientific potentials that they have, they're working on that. But this pure intellect and the rational that we are talking about, for sure itself has root in spirituality, something which is beyond both the mind and the heart, okay? And this is, I think, very important in order to be taken into account. But let's get to the Naqli part now, yeah. Brother Ali Alavian. Of course, there must be so many controversies and doubts, questions regarding the rational part. We do not have that much time to answer all of them. But give us some evidences from the Holy Quran or Ahadith referring to the completeness of the religion of Islam.
There are many verses in the Holy Quran that tells us that Quran and that Islam is a comprehensive religion as well. That actually denotes that Islam is a comprehensive religion. Whether the time that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the mission of the Prophet and tells him that you have been sent to the whole to the people of the worlds, and where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells him or calls him that you are rahmatan lil alamin, you are a mercy for all the world. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Quran, قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ إِنِّي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ إِلَيْكُمْ جَمِيعًا. Tell the Prophet, tell the people that I am the Prophet and Messenger of God for you all. So what does it mean? It means that this Prophet is not going to be for, a limited number of the people, but he is for all the humanity, all the needs and, requirements of people. Again, in another verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. You are a mercy for all the worlds. With these all the worlds, there are different actually interpretation, whether they are only the people of the world, the people who are inhabitant of the earth, or there are some, parallel worlds. So mufassirin and interpreters and interpreters are not denying the existence of other worlds, because out of Qa'adatul Lutf, still there is a possibility of, let's say, parallel worlds, that he, the Prophet of Islam, was actually a mercy for all the inhabitants of all the worlds.
That's right.
The next, let's say, verse of the Quran that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the His holy book, it says, "Ma kana Muhammadun aba ahadin min rijalikum, walakin Rasulullah wa khataman nabiyyin." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, wants to emphasize that he is a messenger of God and the last of the prophets. So when he is appointed as the last of the prophets, it shows that there is no more, let's say, prophet after him. So it means that Allah has sent whatever he was required to send.
That's right.
So it means that the last prophet has come and he brought the last message, and now there is no more. So this is with regard to what we have in Quran. And again, there are also some other verses like وَنَزَّلْنَا عَلِكَ الْكِتَابَ تَبْيَانًا لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ. This book has explanations for everything, with whatever the humankind needs. Slowly we move to, inshallah, to the lesson narrations from the Holy Prophet, because this is the naqli, or
that's
the
right.
narrative part
yes.
of it. For the naql, we start from Quran and then we move to the hadith.
Still, I think the interpretation of these ayahs of the Holy Quran is very much difficult, because, you know, understanding the true meaning of the verses of the Holy Quran.
We just mostly looked at the superficial meaning of them.
Yes, because
whatever
there are so many secrets still
definitely.
Not disclosed in the Holy Quran, in the mm-hmm. verses of the Holy Quran. Of course, the book of the Quran is Kitab Mubin, okay, that is really clear to understanding.
Mm-hmm.
But as they say, there are different batons, or
Butun,
as they say, the batun, or the layers, you know, for the Holy Quran. So if a pure intellect wants to understand the true meaning of the verses of the Holy Quran, on that time I think a better picture can be
mm-hmm.
given to us about the world around us and how Islam can help us in order to have a better path to the other world. Okay.
Very true. I just want to mention one more hadith from the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that was actually said in the Hajjatul Wada, the last Hajj of the Holy Prophet.
Mm-hmm.
And in that mission of Hajj, in that, let's say, trip of his, the Holy Prophet said to the people that, "O people, I have told you whatever makes you close to the paradise and makes you distant from the hell."
Okay.
It means that I've told you whatever was needed.
Mm-hmm.
So there is no more thing to be said. And I have actually, he says again, and there is nothing that actually makes you closer to the hellfire and makes you again distant from that I have not mentioned in my explanations and in my, let's say, speeches. So it means that he is the last prophet among the prophets of God. And there is no more message to be brought by anyone else in future.
That's right.
So it means that when we prove the Khatamiyya, or the lastness of the Holy Prophet,
mm-hmm.
then the comprehensiveness of Islam is already proven.
That's right. But these rays of revelation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are still working, aren't they? I mean, these rays and these distribution of the revelatory actions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not on the specific prophets.
What do you mean exactly?
I mean, for because Wahy itself has different levels, isn't it?
It has levels and stages.
Yes, I mean, on different stages, except the prophetic ones.
Wahyina ila nam.
Yes.
So the levels
okay.
of Wahy or revelations are different.
Yes, yes.
The kind of Wahy or revelation
yes.
that comes to the Prophet differs
yeah.
with the kind of, let's say,
yes.
Wahy that comes, for example, yes. even on an ant.
Okay.
But we do believe that, for example, there was some formats of wahy or revelation to the imams and Lady Fatima
yes.
that we have it
well,
in hadith.
We need to clarify this at this point, that اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم, that Allah has completed the religion. So this revelation that you're talking right now is not about the religion, it's not about the Sharia anymore.
Yes.
You know, the rules of the religion.
Yes, that's
yes,
right.
The revelation that we're talking about on the Naml, for example, and ant,
yeah,
or
yeah.
the mother of Hazrat Musa is
yes.
different from...
No, I just wanted
you know,
to...
Because,
to no, I want...
Brother
just
has just directly went on the revelation, different types.
Yes.
So the listeners might think like, yes. Okay, yeah. Now there is a revelation for the religion.
Yeah,
is
because
there
the
else?
Question
no.
of the brother was looking yes. at the levels and yes. the different yeah. Types of wahi. Or
I just
revelation.
Wanted
I wanted to
explain
say that the revelation that brings the religion as the program that comes mm-hmm. to
yeah.
the program, I said, is totally different with yes. what comes to, for example, ordinary people or even to animals or others.
Yes. I just wanted to explain more about one of the verses which Brother Ali has mentioned. It was chapter Nahl and verse number 89, where Allah says, وَنَزَّلْنَا عَلَيْكَ الْكِتَابِ تِبْيَانًا لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ. Now here Allah says, mm-hmm. We have sent down, O Prophet, upon you the book, Tibyan and clarifier,
yes.
Likulli shay for everything.
Mm-hmm.
This is very important. You know, when we talk about the comprehension of the religion, whether the Islam is comprehensive or not,
yes.
Here Allah is clearly saying it is tibyan and likulli shay.
Yes.
When He says clarifier of everything, it okay. means everything is in the Quran.
That's all right.
Either in its microwave or macrowave. And wahudan and the guidance, warahmatan and mercy, wabushra lil muslimin and glad tidings for those who submit.
Mm-hmm.
Now here, some has translated as muslimin as the Muslims,
yes.
or the Muslim as those who submit
that's all right.
to the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Okay.
So basically, you know, when we're talking about the naql, we need to make sure that this is for those who accept Quran. Because the first part
yes.
of the discussion, which was intellectual, yes. was for those who are non-believers. And they need, a proof outside the Quran, outside
right.
the narrations. But when we talk about the naqli
right.
Things, it's for those who submit to Allah, who are
okay.
the Muslims, and they want something from the Quran to
right.
be said.
I still believe that the most pure intellect on earth now available is the pure mind, spirituality, and intellect of Hazrat Hujjah. You know, the presence of Hazrat Hujjah, who is Hay, who is alive, may Allah hasten his reappearance,
inshallah.
Might help us one day very much in order to have the clear understanding of the concept of Islam. As they say, when the Hazrat arrives, Ya'ti bid-din al-jadid, you know,
mm-hmm.
it will show you a type of religion or
religion.
Islam. It is not bringing a new religion, okay?
Mm-hmm.
It is just showing you the hidden manifestations of the religion of Islam that you were not aware of.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the presence of Hazrat Hujjah on earth and all the system which are working for him, okay,
mm-hmm.
the system of Adala and everything on earth, is really beautifully put in the Shia theology and how to believe in the last savior, how to believe... in the presence of an imam who is alive, who is among us, who is living, and the true religion of Islam is in his hands, mind, and heart. He's applying it, and inshallah, Allah gives us a chance to visit him and see how Islam could answer all the questions of the human beings, both in this world and the year after. This is really a wish for all the believers, not only Muslims, all the monotheistic. You know, believers all around the world. Inshallah, Allah gives us that chance, inshallah, one day.
Inshallah.
And thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of the program Viewpoints regarding the comprehensive aspects of the religion of Islam in both aspects, the rational and narrative dimensions. We try to discuss it. To another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanullah.
The same when I'm too concerned by what they say. Why should I when I have you to doubt you would be the worst mistake? Deep inside I know amidst all the darkness and everything which makes no sense, I know that you exist. Guides me through my darkest nights, shows me right from wrong, and the world that often lies, cause I don't need
The limelight. After British Prime Minister Boris Johnson suffered a massive rebellion by his backbenchers over COVID rules in the House of Commons on Tuesday, 14th of December, and a humiliating by-election loss to the Liberal Democrats in the previously safe Conservative seat of North Shropshire 2 days later, the Prime Minister is being told he has only 3 to 4 months to turn things around, or risk being ousted. We're prepared for you an article written by Toby Helm under the heading, A Leadership Challenge, Tories Give Prime Minister Johnson Months to Improve or Go. The article has been published by the British newspaper The Guardian. Senior Conservative MPs now believe rapidly rising prices and tax increases in the spring, followed by a drubbing for the Tories in May's local elections, will mark the beginning of the end of Prime Minister Boris Johnson's premiership. After Johnson suffered a massive rebellion by his backbenchers over COVID rules in the House of Commons on Tuesday, 14th of December, and a humiliating by-election loss to the Liberal Democrats in the previously safe Conservative seat of North Shropshire 2 days later, the Prime Minister is being told he has only 3 to 4 months to turn things around or risk being ousted. The news of Brexit Minister Lord Frost's shock resignation from the Cabinet, which broke late on Saturday night, 18th of December, has not helped matters. While MPs from all wings of the Conservative Party agree that with the Omicron variant spreading like wildfire, now is not the time to strike, many are beginning to fear for their own seats at the next general election and say May will be the decisive moment. Frustration is deep and anger is running high, but MPs say they must hold off for the time being. One former minister said, "If there was not a pandemic, I would be writing and signing my letter now and sending it off to Graham Brady, chair of the 1922 Committee of Conservative Backbenchers, to trigger a leadership contest. And I think most of us would do the same." The former minister said while MPs were agreed that Boris Johnson should be given time to recover ground in the new year after a disastrous period in which sleaze and scandals of rule-busting number 10 parties have dominated headlines, few had any confidence that he would change. The former minister said, "Boris isn't willing to bring in new people. He isn't willing to re-engage with the parliamentary party. He isn't willing to do the hard graft. He isn't willing to do the detail." The minister added, "Everybody is saying, let's go through the process of giving him the opportunity to change. But we all know where this is going and it is not pleasant. We are heading towards a leadership challenge. The next yardstick is the local elections." Martin Vickers, a Boris Johnson loyalist and member of the 1922 Committee Executive, said he was confident that the Prime Minister could reassert the strong leadership he showed before the 2016 Brexit referendum and the 2019 election, but added, "He has got to do that straight away and avoid the drift of the past few weeks." Charles Walker, a former vice chair of the 1922 Committee Executive, said it would be unconscionable to try to get rid of Boris Johnson in the next few weeks, but warned of tough times ahead as the cost of living increases. He said, "The next 6 months are going to be extremely challenging for a variety of reasons, but mainly Omicron and the impact that yet another iteration of this virus will have on already fractured supply chains and the cost of living." The Conservative Party is not in a position to have a leadership contest under these circumstances. It is just not conscionable. Having said that, it is clear that over the next 3 months, we cannot have a rerun of the past 3 months. Tory grandee Sir Roger Gale recently became the first Conservative to say he had sent his letter to Brady. Under party rules, if the committee chairman receives 54 letters in favour of a vote of no confidence in Boris Johnson, then he will be required to stage one. If British voters now begin to blame the government for rising prices, Tories fear a change at the top could be their only hope. Next spring, the government will come under pressure from a combination of tax increases and rising prices that will eat further into living standards. In April, the energy regulator Ofgem is expected to allow a significant rise in the gas price cap that protects millions of households from volatile wholesale prices. Several high-profile gas suppliers have gone bust in recent months after they were unable to stem losses from supplying households with energy at below market prices. In the last year, gas prices on the international markets have risen threefold. While the cap will continue to operate, the regulator is expected to judge that suppliers should be allowed to increase their prices significantly. Ministers agreed recently that rail fares would rise by 3.8% in March, despite warnings from several backbench Tory MPs that only a freeze on rail fares would encourage passengers to return to rail travel following an exodus triggered by COVID-19. At the budget in October, the Chancellor of the Exchequer, Rishi Sunak, said a 1.5 percentage point increase in national insurance contributions would take effect in April of 2022, costing someone earning £20,000 an extra £120 a year. The rise in national insurance will go to fund the health service and social care, but councils must wait until 2023 before any of the extra income is diverted from health budgets to social care funding. Meanwhile, Angela Rayner, Labour's deputy leader and shadow chancellor of the Duchy of Lancaster, called on the Prime Minister to publish the terms of reference that have been given to the senior civil servant Sue Gray, following her appointment to oversee inquiries into social gatherings in Downing Street and other government properties over Christmas last year. Sue Gray was appointed after Cabinet Secretary Simon Case stepped aside after it was revealed a party was held in his own offices in Downing Street last December. Angela Rayner said, "The public must be assured that this is a genuine, new and empowered investigation that will get to the bottom of any misconduct by ministers and their advisers, publish its findings in full and hand evidence to the police." Labour's deputy leader, Angela Rayner, added, "There are still too many questions unanswered about this murky affair, and the Prime Minister should come clean right now." Asked on Friday, 17th of December, whether he took personal responsibility for the disastrous North Shropshire by-election result, Boris Johnson suggested the problem was that everyone else was talking about the wrong issues. He said, "My job as Prime Minister is to get the focus on the things that matter for all of us." Yet after weeks of self-inflicted crises and the drip of stories about lockdown-busting parties at the heart of Downing Street, many of his MPs believe it is Johnson himself who is the real problem, and some are warning he's now on borrowed time. Also, as the storm clouds gather, Conservative MPs are united in believing that if the government is to regain the public's trust, Boris Johnson will have to change his approach significantly, but divided about whether he's capable of doing so. One frontbencher said he has to take some drastic action. He needs to show tangible action to show that he gets it. By-elections, where opposition parties can pour resources into a single seat, are unrepresentative of what might happen at a general election. For example, Liberal Democrat leader Ed Davey visited North Shropshire no less than 5 times. But scores of anxious Tory MPs will nonetheless have been scrutinising the result and wondering what their own fate might be if the voters continue to feel they want to give the Tories a kicking, as the party chair Oliver Dowden put it. A much smaller swing against the Tories than the extraordinary 34% seen on Thursday, 16th of December, would put scores of Conservative seats into the Liberal Democrats' sights. A 20% swing would wipe out Michael Gove in Surrey Heath, Dominic Raab in Esher and Walton, and Steve Bryan in Winchester, for example, among many others.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
Questions and answers in Islamic upbringing.
I have a son. He's really fond of football, and he's so weak in his lesson courses. I really don't know what should I do.
Could you tell me when we have to start upbringing our kids, that is, from the very beginning of the birth?
I have a little son, and he's so disrespectful. I want to know how to treat him according to the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them.
Answering parents' questions in upbringing their children in an Islamic way.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. This is your host Musa Al-Bahadali and you are now listening to the program Islamic Upbringing. In this program we discuss problems and questions parents have regarding the Islamic upbringing of their children. As usual, most of the answers are based upon the Holy Book of the Quran and upon the narrations of the Prophet and of the household of the Prophet, peace be upon them all. Joining us in the studio is our guest speaker, Sayyid Abdullah Al-Musawi from the Islamic Seminary of Qum. Dear Sayyid, I welcome you and Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and thank you for having me.
Thank you for joining us, dear Sayyid. Today, dear Sayyid, we'll be talking about how a parent should never show their children a weak spot that they may then further on in life or later on abuse and manipulate. Dear Sayyid, how should we go on about doing this?
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان العين الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد وعنجل فرجه. Now with kids, we did say many times they are very smart creatures.
Right.
They pick up quickly and they get to know things a lot quicker. Now, among the things that kids are good at, it's finding the parents' soft spots and their weaknesses.
Right.
Especially with the women, okay, with the mothers.
Or more emotional.
Yeah. Right. So the mothers, because they are Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them too much emotions, which is a good thing, not a bad thing. But sometimes the women themselves, they don't know how to use that. They just leave it open. For example, I remember this happened to me once. It was a very cold winter day. I think it might even be snowing outside. And I had to wake up my daughter for school. Now, my daughter, she's, you know, I don't know, she's 6, 7, and under her blanket, be comfortable. Now she has to wake up cold and go to school.
Right.
And the mother's like, oh, you know what, just leave her sleep, just let her pass. I'm like, no, it's school day, you know? If I have to do this, how many days my daughter's going to get off? Just because her mom feeling, you know, sorry for her.
Right.
So she, my daughter understood that that's her mom's weakness. So every time that she doesn't want to go to school now, it's like, mom, she comes up with an excuse.
She manipulates it.
So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to the mothers, I've given you extra emotions so you can compensate the lack of the father.
Okay. So that's the expression that's used.
So the father's going to lack. So we're going to give you a bit extra so you can make up for it. But don't let it, you know, there has dominate to be limitation. You need to put a fence around it.
Right.
So when kids understand that they have a soft spot or a weakness from their parents, they will definitely abuse it, whether it's in a good way or sometimes even in a bad way.
Right.
For example, a child that knows that he starts yelling and screaming, his parents will give him whatever he wants quickly, just shut him up.
Right.
That will be a constant. That will, he will always use that method.
Right. It will be abused very much.
So
he
will always use that method
to
yell out and cry and scream so he could get what he wants.
Right. It's effective. Makes sense from a logical standpoint.
Exactly. And sometimes when a child, for example, he hits his parents and he sees their parents, they have no response and they don't know how to deal with it. And then he will start to do that always. So we're saying do not make sure you don't give them either a weak spot or weakness.
Right. And on that note, let's go ahead and take a quick break.
This is Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
Contact us at EnglishRadio@irib.ir.
Welcome back, dear listeners. You are listening to the program Islamic Upbringing. Today we're discussing why a parent shouldn't show weak points to their children because the children may then abuse and manipulate these weak points. Dear Sayyid, please continue the discussion.
So we're saying these examples of being weak in front of our kids, it's so many that sometimes we don't pay attention to them. We take them, you know, as lightly and... you know, it gets, we get over it. And I even, and that, the problem is this, it does not leave them, it just grows with them. Maybe they don't cry when they get older, but they will be more stubborn. Okay, for example, you could have someone who's 11, 12, or even older, right? You can, the mother could ask him to eat food. She's like, no, I'm playing. I'll finish play and come.
Right.
And he's like, no, you have to eat now. So you know, do your work, you need to relax to the side. And then he's like, in the day when he was a kid, he used to scream out and cry.
Right.
Now he can just raise his voice, like, no. He's like raising his voice and, you know, rejecting his mom.
Right.
And obviously, she doesn't want to get into that issue with her son. He's like, sure, fine. Just keep quiet.
Just leave him be.
I've seen this with so many kids. The minute, like, I've seen it with, like, even boys at the age of 20. Like they yell at their moms. It's like, I don't want to eat now, right? I'll eat later. Save my food. And the mother has to shut his mouth.
Right.
He's like, okay, sure. You know? And she just gives up. So we said that when it comes to matters of weakness, we have to be very careful. Otherwise, we could be doing something that, you know, that end up being devastating to the child himself, like something that will definitely grow up with him.
And then if you want to fix this weak point that you have yourself have created in the situation, you're going to have to like escalate dramatically to prevent the child
even
from doing this.
Well, that's a problem. Even if you fix your weak spot yourself, the child has already adopted a method.
Right.
Okay, for example, that the child that cries constantly if he doesn't get what he wants,
You know, so you've been giving him. Now I said, you know what? No, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to give him anymore. Now his crying will intensify.
Right, yeah. Okay? The situation escalates from both
sides. It will escalate even worse. So you haven't achieved anything. Therefore, we say you have to be from the beginning, be careful and mindful, because sometimes it's going to be very long process to try and
extremely
cure that.
Difficult.
So and you will need a lot of patience too. For example, if you can't put up with him crying or he's screaming for like a couple of seconds, imagine him doing it like for an hour.
Right.
And kids have that. Yeah, and kids have that mentality to go like this. They have this arrogance to continue for a
very
long
stubborn.
Time.
They can focus single-handedly on one thing and stick with it.
That's it. Well, that's how kids were.
Right.
That's what makes them kids being kids. So as parents, like I said, one of the obstacles that we face sometimes is that we are too weak. Either we are too gentle, either we are too emotional, we are too attached, we give them what they want, we spoil them too much, and they find that weakness.
But just a note for our listeners, being emotional is a good thing. It just do not let these emotions create a hold that your child has over you, right?
Exactly. No, so for example, my children, they know I love them very much.
Right.
They know I'm a very emotional person with them as well. But they know that these tricks don't work on me.
Right.
Right.
Don't try
it. No matter how much my son would try, no matter how hard he tries to get away with something, he knows he just can't do it.
Right.
So he just gives up. Like, Dad, I'm like, no.
Doesn't work on me.
No. Doesn't work.
Right. And with that, dear say, let's go ahead and take a quick break.
The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam said, "No father has granted a gift to his child better than good manners."
Welcome back to your listeners. You are listening to the program Islamic Upbringing. Today we are discussing why parents shouldn't let their children have any leverage by showing them weak points. Dear Sayyid, please pick up where you left off.
Therefore, when we try to look at ourselves and make sure that we are the best parents and the best educators out there, and like, mind you, this doesn't always, it just doesn't happen with parents, happen with teachers as well. Teachers have to face the same problem when they have like bullies in the class and they have rude kids in the class or the rich kids in the class, they can't do much too. So they end up also submitting to their will.
Unfortunately. Yeah.
And so when we try to remove these obstacles, like I always say, not only the benefit goes to the father, but the child does well, because we have a law in Siyam and fasting. It says that if you're sick and you know your fasting will prolong your sickness, then it's haram for you to fast.
Right.
So you should not be fasting. So the same thing here is that sometimes you have to look at, now it might be a good thing to do to control a child, keep a child quiet, or get him to, you know, to get away from you. But it might seem good at the time, but you have to look at the consequences of such an action on the long run.
You need to think
long
term.
You just open the door, as we say, you open the door to Pandora's box.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right, yeah.
So we have a hadith from the Prophet, he says, إِذَا قَدَّمْتَ عَلَىٰ أَمْرٍ فَتَدَبَّرْ عَاقِبَتَهُ. If you come to do an action, look at the consequences. فَإِنْ كَانَ خَيْرًا فَأَقْبَلْ. If it was good, do it. فَإِنْ كَانَ شَرًا, no, hold, hit the brakes and stop. So with your child, it's the same. Like, how we deal with them, they are, with robots these days, they have this AI system where they just look and learn as they go.
Right.
This is a child, basically. He has that memory. He just looks and just saves information in his brain. And so if from a young age he finds out these loopholes, that will continue. And sometimes you have people who are old enough, they still manage to manipulate and abuse their parents because of that. That fact, for example, they know their mom doesn't say much, so even as an adult, not even a child, not even a teenager, adult, for example, they go steal from their moms because he knows his mom's not gonna do anything.
You know, right. She's too soft.
There's no consequence.
Yeah, it's like, what is
and
she
she'll still
like?
Continue on loving me and continuing
exactly.
like normal.
So they end up stealing from them. They end up doing a lot of bad stuff. And, you know, their safeguard, they go back to their mom. So, for example, I remember when I was a kid, my mom was very soft. Every time someone that's trying to get angry and with me, I ran to my mom.
Right.
And that's it.
Right. It's a safe haven.
Yeah, it's a safe haven. And my mom used to do that. But then I think at some stage that said to her, okay, that shit won't work anymore.
Right. Yeah.
You know, don't do that. Then my mom was like, no, go to your dad.
Right, yeah.
However you did, you have to face it. Then I had to find a new method of trying to find my dad's weakness. And I did, by the way.
You did?
I did. And I found his weakness is his prayer mat. If I am in the prayer mat, he can't hit me. And so as a child, you're constantly working to find a way to find his weak spot.
Little devils.
So now he always constantly has his prayer mat open, his turban, his books. I go on the prayer mat, that's it. That's my embassy.
Church
cannot
me.
Reach me.
I dare you.
Yeah, yeah. So as kids, we don't want to do that. We have to make sure that this obstacle is removed.
As parents, you mean?
Yeah, as parents.
Dear Sayyid, I thank you for your lecture. It has been very insightful, and inshallah, I myself and our dear listeners will reap lots of benefits from this information. We will unfortunately have to end today's program. I thank you for your insightful knowledge. I also thank the dear listeners for tuning in. If our dear listeners have any questions, comments, or just some feedback, please contact us at our email, englishradio@irib.ir. Alternatively, you can also visit our website, parstoday.com. We also have social media accounts on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter under the call handle of Call of Islam Radio. Take care.
Do you know what Islam says? It says that life's the greatest test. It says that life's a borrowed space, returned upon rest. A way of life, a way of life, a way of life, a way of life. Islam is a way of life, a complete way. Islam solves all of our problems. Allah leaves no stone unturned. Perfect with no flaws at all are the laws of Allah. A way of life, a way of life, a way of life, a way of life. Islam is a way of life, a complete way.
Cultural news, social news, scientific news, artistic news. With delight.
Serving customers in a high-tech way. That's what a traditional restaurant in the German state of Bavaria does. What's the goal? The owner explains.
We decided ourselves for this robot because of the lack of staff. Looked for support in a technological form. It's not a replacement, of course, but it's a relief for the waiters.
The robot is equipped with a trolley and it can easily move around in the restaurant. When it comes to saving time, the high-tech waiter is of great help, especially when the restaurant is packed with customers. The owner says most customers first become surprised when they come across the robot. He says waiters are still present to serve meals and receive orders. Butterfly gardens are a place where you can watch these tiny creatures and marvel at their beauty. But have you ever wondered where these butterflies come from? These colorful creatures are in fact bred in butterfly farms. And Donald Orsay from Costa Rica is one of the biggest breeders, making that the mission of his life. He produces somewhere around 2,500 pupas per week. Arce is one of the world's largest exporters of the popular Morpho species. Listen to him explain why he is fascinated by them.
Her morpho has a great advantage. It is a butterfly that rarely stays still, unless it is very late, because when it is getting dark, it settles down, but normally it flies constantly. It flies by in the butterfly gardens.
Arsace butterflies have their own special diet. They feed on bananas and a concoction that he keeps its ingredients secret. Morphos are popular because of their color. They are shimmering blue on one side and brown on the other side. That's perfect for camouflage. Butterflies are really fun to watch, but they serve a critical purpose as well. They help plants reproduce by pollination, thus strengthening the ecosystem.
A few hooks and a shelf have transformed a wall in the Swedish capital, Stockholm, into an outdoor charity. It's called the Wall of Kindness, which is painted with the slogan, "Grab a jacket if you need one, leave a jacket if you can spare one." Here people can donate their winter clothes or warm boots if they have some extra. The Wall of Kindness is meant to help those in need, including the homeless, to stay warm. The wall was set up by a real estate company, and the organizer says people have responded positively with the high turnover. The move was inspired by a trend that has been seen in Iran over the years. Several other countries across the world, such as India, have also organized similar outdoor charities.
Scientists in Brazil have come up with a creative way to shore up the population of a majestic species of monkeys in danger of extinction. Brazilian conservationists have constructed a bridge to reconnect the two sides of Rio de Janeiro's Atlantic forest. The road had effectively isolated a group of lion tamarins, but now it offers hope for the endangered monkey. There are only 2,500 golden tamarins left in the wild, all of them in Brazil. It is estimated that these animals have lost more than 95% of their habitat.
Childhood joy and lightness meet with art at the first of its kind museum in Rome, Italy. Here, all kinds of art decorations are made of balloons. The exhibit, dubbed Let's Fly, displays a broad range of interactive artworks. In one installation, visitors are invited to find their inner child by diving into a pool of hundreds of small balloons. In another section, giant inflatable sculptures double as a playground for kids. Some installations move only by riding a bicycle. The museum is a place where artists and spectators coexist for a journey into a world of inflatable art capable of freeing the imagination of all ages.
It's the combination of art with childhood and adolescence that makes this place so magical. So they are art installations, but also games. The blurred line between the two is what makes the museum so unique.
The balloon exhibit incorporates innovative works created by 14 different artists from across Europe. The artifacts were created using hundreds of thousands of biodegradable balloons. The organizers say they want to increase environmental awareness by being eco-friendly, as all the artworks will be reused or recycled. The exhibit will run until March the 5th.
As people around the globe are preparing for the New Year holidays, the Vatican lights up a Christmas tree and nativity scene set up on St. Peter's Square. People gathered around the square waiting for long hours to see the illumination. Even heavy rain did not stop them. That's why the official lighting ceremony was held inside the Paul VI Hall, where Pope Francis presides his weekly audiences. The nativity scene, made of more than 30 pieces, is created by Peruvian artists. The majestic Christmas tree is about 28 meters and comes from Andalo, northern Italy. The locals see the stunning tree as a symbol of hope and peace. The tree will be switched on every night until January the 6th. Chinese students receive a science lesson on their country's space station, and they are lucky enough to receive it firsthand from the astronauts living in the first and core module of the station. The class was held via a live broadcast shown on the state television. The three astronauts gave a lecture that focused on physics. They explained how the weightlessness environment affects the movement of objects. The astronauts also gave a tour of the station they arrived at in October for a six-month stay. It seems that their teachings were quite motivating. The students peppered their instructors with questions, including those about living conditions in space. China launched its space station in April and plans to complete it by the end of the next year.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields, like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
Christmas is just around the corner, and children are waiting for their presents. In Guatemala, Santa Claus has a new mode of transport to give gifts to children with cancer.
Today, as in the past year, we are celebrating Christmas with the cancer patients on the shelter. Santa Claus came in a helicopter to give presents to the children. It is very emotional for the children. The majority of them have never been so close to a helicopter, let alone Santa Claus.
That was an exciting experience for the children. The charity event was organized by an institute that supports cancer patients for remote areas in Guatemala. The institute says the event aimed to help the children go through their therapies with more ease.
The Amazon River turtles are in danger of extinction, but environmentalists have come up with an initiative to save their lives, and that's by protecting their eggs. Climate change and human activities against their ecosystem have been putting these creatures at risk. Now, what the biologists and local volunteers do is that they recover turtle nests from riverbanks during the rainy season to protect them from drowning. Then they take care of the baby turtles until they develop a hard shell and are ready to start their life journey. Batches of tiny turtles release into a river in the Amazon border between Bolivia and Brazil. They are now grown enough to protect themselves against different threats. Environmentalists have been doing this for more than 20 years, saving millions of baby turtles. This time they released 1 million of the little turtles. During the Christmas season, people around the world love to add a dose of joy in the form of Santas. Children especially feel ecstatic to see Santas distributing presents and snacks. But you will be amazed to see how one Santa this time dives into water to give well-behaved sharks and fishes their goodies. In Malta's National Aquarium, Scuba Claus, helped by an elf, plunges into a huge fish tank with his sack of treats to feed sharks and fishes. Santas, ho ho ho, come out in bubble through his snorkel over his white beard. The aquarium, located in the northern part of the island, hosts more than 175 different species of various marine animals.
Butterflies are probably the most popular among all insect species on Earth due to their beauty and color. Millions of monarch butterflies have flocked to a Mexican forest, creating a magical sight drawing tourists, scientists, and locals there. The monarch butterflies flee the cold winters of Canada and northern United States and travel thousands of kilometers to hibernate and reproduce in the temperate woods of central Mexico. Hundreds of trees crowded with butterflies can be seen along Mexico's 13,000-hectare monarch reserve after their long journey. However, experts warn of a drop in the number of the species. Climate change is reported to have had an impact on their butterflies' migration pattern, as well as a reduction in their milkweed breeding habitat in the United States.
With the Christmas season in full swing, hundreds have gathered on Spain's Gran Canaria island to watch stunning sand sculptures representing the birth of Christ. Eight sand artists from around the world have created the spectacular figures. It took them a week to complete the scenes. A huge sand wall is built around the sculptures to protect them. The island has been holding the event every year since 2006. The warm temperatures on the Spanish beach have helped attract a lot of visitors over Christmas. According to the organizers, at least 200,000 people have visited the exhibition in the past 15 years. A joyful day at an Australian zoo as a baby pygmy hippo is born. That's good news for the zoo staff because pygmy hippos are endangered species. Cambiri, the mother hippo, gave birth to the calf last month. It's her second calf and the first one was born in a Sydney zoo 4 years ago. The newborn is yet to be named. It sticks to the mum and follows her wherever she goes. The calf is spending most of its time out of the sight of the public, as for now it's learning to walk and swim. And the mum keeps a close eye on the calf at all times.
The first few days, she did not leave the calf's side, was very sedate, very quiet, and just looking after its every need. And only in the last sort of couple of days as she started to get a little bit more sleep in.
They are regarded as endangered animals because of illegal hunting and loss of habitat. Currently, less than 3,000 pygmy hippos are living in the wild.
Is it interesting to experience what Harry Potter went through at Hogwarts? Well, it could be, at least for students at a university in Pakistan, kicking off a festival celebrating the fictional wizard. The students at Government College University made their 150-year-old campus look like the magical school created by British author J.K. Rowling. They put on costumes and set up decorations reminiscent of Hogwarts. The university's vice chancellor says the campus, with its vast halls and soaring archways, has always reminded the students of the fictional school.
Most of these youngsters, they grew up at the time when J.K. Rowling's work was being presented in the novels and then later on in the film. So that magical charm, that fantasy, they really enjoyed. They grew up reading that fantasy. And then when they come to Government College University and see these architecture, it reminds me of that Hogwarts that is being filmed in Harry Potter films.
The university official spoke proudly of what his students have done. They were themselves happy too, calling their experience fun. Others said it was unbelievable to be in Hogwarts. The festival also screened Pakistan's first fan-made Harry Potter film made and acted by the students.
IRIB English Radio.